Okay. Okay, so Hilchos Pesach. Let's start from the beginning, and then we'll go through the bulk of this year is going to be focused on cleaning and kashering for Pesach. Amir Tzah Hashem, we're going to have another shiur about the Seder, because I think that there will be a lot of people home for the Seder that are generally not home for the Seder. Some people perhaps leading a Seder or having a Seder alone when they don't usually are not usually in that role. So we'll have a separate shiur going through the Seder in terms of just the order of how things go and also some of the halachos involved. We'll do that maybe next week. A couple people asked me some questions about different products. So we're not going to talk too much about specific products tonight. I know a lot of people have questions. If I see that the people have a lot of questions, maybe I can give an additional shiur. Or what I'm going to try to do is just maybe make some information available. I'm obviously always here, anyone can call me, email me, text me with any questions about products that they have. But a lot of the products, I think we can try to cover in other forums. This is more for the cleaning and kashering. Okay, we'll just start with one thing about Maos Chitim. Maos Chitim is a minhag. It's not an obligation. It's not a chiyuv, but it's a minhag. It's a strong minhag. It's based on a Yerushalmi, the old Jerusalem Talmud, and it's a minhag that before Pesach we have the custom to give special tzedakah, not the regular tzedakah, but special tzedakah to make sure that people have the wherewithal to make yontif. Obviously, we all know that yontif is expensive. It's expensive to make any yontif, let alone Pesach, where very often the Pesach products are more expensive and harder to come by, and you have to buy new pots and new dishes and silverware and things like that. So because of that, we have this minhag of Maos Chitim. Because it's a minhag, one may use their maaser ksafim. So if you set aside 10% of your income as tzedakah, you may use that towards Maos Chitim because it's a minhag. It does not have to come out of your regular pocket, so to speak. Okay. In terms of the prohibition to eat matzah, so we'll talk about that next. Technically, from a halachic standpoint, it's only aser to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. So Erev Pesach, the Rishalmi says that one is not permitted to eat matzah. Why? Because we want to come into Pesach, we want to come into the Seder with an appetite for matzah. If you're eating matzah Erev Pesach, by the time the night of Pesach comes along, you're not going to be so interested in eating matzah. So therefore, we have a prohibition in Isser to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. That's the only thing that's prohibited according to the letter of the law, according to the halacha. However, many have a minhag not to eat matzah already from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is this coming Wednesday night, Thursday. Some have the minhag, which is my own personal minhag, not to refrain from eating matzah already from Purim, 30 days before. Those are minhagim, and whatever your family minhag is, that's valid. But in terms of the halacha, so the halacha is only Erev Pesach not to eat. 30 days before Pesach, we know we begin learning about the halachos of Pesach. Some begin to be a little bit more careful about chametz during this time. I know many of you in your homes already, you're already careful about chametz, where chametz goes and where it doesn't go. But certainly during the 30 days before Pesach, we become much more careful about chametz. Some say there's even a kiyum, a fulfillment of the mitzvah of tashbisu, which is the mitzvah to rid ourselves of chametz, to get rid of the chametz. Some agree that if you eat the chametz or get rid of it during this time, you fulfill that mitzvah as well. Okay, now as we're all in the getting into the heavy duty cleaning and preparing for Pesach, so it's important to recognize, and I try to say this every year, that there's a distinction between cleaning for chametz and spring cleaning. So cleaning your house for chametz is not necessarily the same thing as spring cleaning. I know nowadays, it's the season of spring cleaning, especially because people are stuck at home with nothing else to do. So if you do go out and you drive around, you'll see that there are piles and piles of things outside of everyone's house because everyone's just going through their closets. But cleaning for chametz is not spring cleaning. Spring cleaning is going through your closets and your old clothes and what doesn't fit anymore and all the tchotchkes that you may or may not need. When it comes to cleaning for Pesach, we're worried about chametz. So, whether your old clothes fit or don't fit has nothing to do with Pesach. Maybe as a result of Pesach, your old clothes might not fit, but It has no direct correlation to Pesach, and therefore there's no real need to do that. And we need to focus on chametz when it comes to Pesach. Amida oraisa, biblically from the Torah, as long as we do what we call bittul, which is the little formula that we recite, we say it twice actually, once after the bedikas chametz at night, and once again during on erev Pesach in the morning after we burn the chametz, we say this little paragraph of bittul, which is a nullification, and we nullify the chametz and we say that it's like the dust of the earth, and we don't want to have anything to do with it. It's not ours anymore. Technically, from a biblical perspective, mida oraisa, that is sufficient, and you don't need to do anything else. However, the rabbis recognized that if you just do that and you have your yodels and your pretzels and your coffee cakes all sitting, on your counter and in your cabinet and, and all around your house, so then a person might come to eat it. We're afraid. Tosfos says you might come to eat it because we eat chametz all year long. It's not like chazer or other treif where no one would ever touch it with a 10-foot pole. We eat Entenmann's and Dunkin' Donuts and pretzels, all year long. So we're afraid that if you have it out, around Pesach time, a person might come to eat it. So because of this, midrabanan, the rabbanan required us to get rid of all of our chametz. It's not enough just to be mevatel it, to nullify it, but you actually have to get rid of it. Because of this interesting, point that throughout the rest of the year we do eat chametz and only during these 8 days of Pesach we don't. So because of that, we have a lot of chumras when it comes to Pesach. We have a lot of stringencies that we don't otherwise have. Number one, we know, many are familiar, that if something treif would fall into my soup, would fall into my chalent, so there's a concept of bittul b'shishim, which means that if I have 60 times chalent, 60 times kosher, against the one part treif, so then the one part treif is considered null and void, and I can still eat my chalent, I can still eat my soup, I don't have to worry. That's called bittul b'shishim. So when it comes to chametz on Pesach, that's not the case. There is no bittul b'shishim. Chametz is not bottled at all on Pesach, and therefore, even if a speck of chametz falls into my Pesachdik cholent, or falls into my soup, or somehow gets into my food, that will ruin the entire dish. And because of that, we're very, very careful, especially when it comes to the kitchen, dining room, eating areas, to make sure that they are completely 100% chametz free. So that's a chumrah, stringency that comes out of this. Another stringency that comes out, which some people are not aware of, is that a person is not allowed to stay in a place that was not cleaned for Pesach. Now, in a regular year, when a lot of people are going away, this halacha is a little bit more common. This year, when most people are staying home, it's not going to be as common. But theoretically, if a person is going away and is being put up in someone's apartment or someone's house, who's going away for Yontif or who's not around, So it's a problem. If they don't clean properly for Pesach and they don't do a bedikas chametz properly for Pesach, so then you would not be able to stay in that place. Now, technically, what they could do is they could block off the areas that are not being used. Let's say you're not eating in the kitchen. You're going to go to your host's, for all the meals and everything like that. You're just using the bedroom and maybe the living room. So technically, they can block off all the areas that are not being used. Close if they have a door, they can close the door and put a little, a little post-it that says chametz on it. If it's in the kitchen, they would have to put some sort of real mechitza, like a piece of wood or something like that, or maybe overturn a table, something real to block their way. Just so we know that this area has chametz in it, has not been cleaned properly, and you can't go there and you can't be involved. Again, that's only if you're staying somewhere which has not been cleaned properly for Pesach. If it was cleaned properly and a bedikah was done, then there's no problem. And if you're staying home, then obviously there's no problem, and you'll do whatever you do when you're home. Technically, we're not worried, since the whole concern is that we're worried that a person might come to eat chametz. So we're not worried that a person is going to eat little crumbs. You're not going to walk around your house and look for all the little crumbs that you have on the floor in the cracks and crevices. You're not going to worry about that. Chametz that's dirty and disgusting and moldy, we're not worried about that. So technically speaking, you don't have to be concerned about that. Technically speaking, you don't have to go and be sweeping out all of the crumbs from between the cracks in your hardwood, or finding the little moldy Cheerios that are left behind the appliances. Technically, you don't have to worry about that. There is a Rush, one of the Rishonim, who quotes a Yerushalmi, or it's based on a Yerushalmi, that says that there were very holy women, and these women used to clean their entire house top to bottom. They used to clean the walls of their house, the ceilings of their house, to make sure that there was no chametz, no crumbs. And he uses the language of Yisrael Kedoshim Hem. The Jewish people are a holy people, and because they're a holy people, so we want to make sure that there's absolutely no chametz. Certainly, al pi Kabbalah, based on Kabbalah, and Hasidus, where Chametz is representative of the Yetzer Hara. We want to make sure that there's absolutely not even a crumb, no specks of Chametz at all in our house. That is a chumrah. That's a stringency. To get rid of all these crumbs and these inedible pieces of chametz is a stringency. It's a chumrah. It is a holy thing to do. Yisrael kedoshim heim. If you're up to holiness and you're up to that stringency, then by all means you can go ahead and do it. If it's something that would be a real tircha, would be a real headache and a bother to do this and to make sure you get all the crumbs and clean all even the inedible chametz, so then you don't have to make yourself so crazy. So that's an important thing to know, especially this year when there's so much other craziness in the world with coronavirus and everything else going on, that we don't have to go meshuga, cleaning for Pesach. We have to make sure we get rid of all of the chametz. We have to make sure we get rid of all of the edible chametz. But things that are inedible or little crumbs, we don't have to make ourselves crazy. And as long as we get rid of all the edible chametz and put everything away, then we're okay, then we're fine. It's for that reason that, according to the technical halacha, you don't have to go through all of your svarim. People have books and svarim, thousands, hundreds of svarim in their house. They don't have to go through each one and get all the crumbs out between the pages. Why? Because the chances of you finding a yodel in your sefer that you're going to, munch on Pesach are slim to none. So therefore, you don't have to worry about that. And little crumbs, you don't have to worry. We'll talk about, we'll bring them to the table in a little bit. In the kitchen, we do have to go a little meshuga. Because as we said, in the kitchen, we have to worry, because even if a speck of chametz gets into our soup or gets into our dish on Pesach, it can mess up our entire dish. And therefore, we do have to go a little bit crazy in the kitchen and make sure that the kitchen is absolutely spotless and that there's no chametz whatsoever, not even a crumb, in the kitchen. Of course, we're not angels. We're human beings. We can only do a human being job, but we do the best we can, certainly in the kitchen. Okay. When it comes to the house and cleaning and doing bedikas chametz, which are related because we clean, obviously, and then we do bedikas chametz. So there's no need to check areas where there's no reason to assume that any chametz was brought into that area. So if you have an attic where nobody brings chametz into the attic, you don't go, you store things in there, but nobody brings chametz into there. You don't go into the attic in the middle of the meal. You're not worried about that. Or if, you're in your house, you don't have little kids, let's say, and, nobody brings chametz upstairs. You only eat downstairs. There's no food allowed upstairs. So then you don't have to clean upstairs for Pesach. You don't have to check upstairs. You're not worried about anything. Again, the dirt and the dust is not a problem of chametz. You don't have to worry about that. You're worried about chametz. So wherever you bring chametz, those areas you have to clean and you have to check. Other areas where you don't bring chametz, you don't have to clean those areas and you don't have to check them. If you do have children at home, little children, so it really depends. It depends on the children. Normal little children tend to bring, their snacks everywhere. So if they bring their snacks everywhere, then you really have to be careful. Maybe not in the attic, but you have to be careful, in the bedrooms and the playrooms, certainly. You have to be careful and make sure that there's no chametz in those places. We don't have to worry that there's chametz behind pieces of furniture. So nobody needs to move any furniture. Again, if you want the stringency, the chumrah of Yisrael Kedoshim, of the Rosh and the Yerushalmi, you're more than welcome to do it. But it's a stringency. Technically, you don't have to move any furniture. You don't have to pull the fridge out or pull the oven out. No one's going behind there on Pesach and finding pretzels and eating them. We're not concerned about that. So therefore, technically, you do not have to do that. Any crumbs are going to be null and void anyway. Nobody cares about crumbs. And larger pieces, we're going to do bittul. We're going to do that nullification process after we do bedikas chametz. And therefore, we're not concerned about that. And again, we're not concerned that you're going to pull out your fridge in the middle of Pesach and find something really, really pleasant and nice behind that fridge and chow down on that. Again, Yisrael Kedoshim, if you want the stringency, you're welcome to, but it's a stringency. clothing and pockets should be checked for chametz, because a lot of times people do stick things in there. You're at a kiddush and, there's a nice piece of cake and you want it for later, you might stick it into your pocket. So you should check your pockets for that. We're not worried about, sorry, we're not worried about crumbs or dirt or things like that. So you don't have to empty your pockets, from the crumbs and the dirt. We're not so worried about that. But just make sure that you don't have any real chametz. Like we said, sfarim do not have to be checked. You don't have to take out all your sfarim and check them. However, if there are some sfarim that you bring to the table on Shabbos, let's say there's a sefer, a nice sefer of Divrei Torah that you like to bring to the table, or a chumash, or something about Hilchos Shabbos or whatever, something nice you like to bring to the table. So things that are brought to the table during the year should not be brought to the table on Pesach. Because then we're concerned there might be some crumbs in those svarim, And we don't want the crumbs going onto your Pesach table and your Pesach food. So if they're brought to the table during the year, don't bring them to the table on Pesach. You can still learn them on Pesach, but just not at the table. Anything that's not brought to the table, you have Sfarim in your study or books in your bedroom, and then you like to read them, but you don't bring them to the table, there's no problem. You don't have to check them. And you're not bringing them to the table anyway, so it's okay. benchers that are used during the year should be put away with the chametz. Benchers, as we know, have all sorts of crumbs in them and stuff caked on the outside. They should be put away with the chametz, and we should use new, different benchers for Pesach. You know, you can buy cheap benchers, not a big deal, and usually the Haggadahs have benching in them anyway. when it comes to toys, so you do have to go through the toys, especially if you have little kids and they're, you know, playing with the toys and they might stick a pretzel in there. So you should go through the toys just to make sure there's no actual chametz, like pretzels, you know, Cheerios, you know, things that a kid might actually take, pick up and eat. But you don't have to clean all the toys from the grime. So there's no need to throw all the toys in the bathtub or put them through the dishwasher. That's not necessary. Again, Yisrael Kedoshim, if you want to do it, it's a stringency. By all means, you're more than welcome to do it, but it's not required. What's required is just to make sure that there's no real chametz on those toys. Anything that's eaten outside, we assume the crumbs and whatever's left is consumed by the birds and the animals. You don't have to go and check your yard or check through your grass. If you know that your kids, you know, were eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and you gave them a whole sandwich and they walked in, you know, and you can't imagine they finished the whole thing. So then maybe go outside and look and see if they tossed it into the bushes. But generally, you don't have to assume that little crumbs are left over or little pieces are left over. Any appliances like toasters, mixers that are very hard to clean, do the best you can, you know, getting it clean. You don't have to make yourself crazy. And then we can include any chametz on those kelim in our sale to the non-Jew. We don't include the kelim themselves. We don't sell the actual utensils. We don't sell the mixer or the toaster, because then once you sell it to the non-Jew and you buy it back after Pesach, you'll have to tovel it again. We don't want to do that. So instead, we sell all the chametz that's caked onto those items or stuck onto those items. We sell that to the non-Jew. And then just put them away with your chametz kelim, and you're fine. any area that will be sold or rented to the guy do not have to be checked. So let's say, you know, you have a garage, and I'm going to put all of my chametz stuff in the garage. I'm not going to use the garage really during on Pesach. If you forgot something and you need to go in for a second, it's okay. The guy always gives us permission. But generally, I'm going to lock everything in there. I'm not going to use it. So that area does not have to be cleaned or checked for Pesach, because that's a chametz area. You're using that for chametz, and you're going to rent the entire garage and all the chametz that's in it. You're going to rent that to the non-Jew. So any room like that where you just want to put everything away in there and lock it up for Pesach, you can rent that out to the non-Jew. There is one opinion that's more stringent, but the general minhag, the general custom, is to be lenient about that. We hold like there's an opinion of the Ravya that everyone has an obligation to do bedigas chametz. So even if you're going away, you know, you can't just sell or rent out your entire house. Again, most of us this year, you know, for better or worse, are not going away. So it's not really so applicable this year. But in general, a person should try to do bedigas chametz. Well, usually what I tell people who are going away is to rent out their entire home, with the exception of one room where chametz is normally brought. So let's say the dining room. So you always bring chametz into the dining room. So that one room will be yours, and you can, you know, you'll clean that room and you'll check it, do bedigas chametz in that room. That'll be your room. But the rest of the house you can just rent out to the non-Jew, and you don't have to worry about it. You do not have to check and clean the rest of the house. That makes it easier for people going away. Again, most of us are staying here. We don't have to worry about that. Okay, so that's in terms of cleaning and bedikas chametz. Let's move to kashering. So when it comes to kashering, the general principle of kashering, and this applies whether it's Pesach or whether it's during the year, is what the Gemara calls kibolo kach polto. The way that the kli, the way that the vessel or the sink or the oven or the countertop or whatever it is, the way that it absorbed the chametz, that's the way that it gets rid of the chametz. And the same method that it absorbs, that's the method by which it gets rid of it. So let's say, for example, you have silverware, which might come into contact, you know, you have a soup spoon or something like that, which might come into contact does come into contact with hot chametz. You have matzo balls in your soup or noodles in your soup, and it's hot. So you, let's say you want to kosher those spoons for Pesach. So the way we do that, and the way we kosher most pots, and silverware and Kiddush cups and things like that, is through the process of what we call Hagala, Hagalas Kelim, which is boiling. Now this is it's a little trickier when it comes to Pesach, because again, generally when it comes to Pesach, we have a lot of stringencies and chumras, so it's a little trickier than it is during the year. It's also a little trickier this year because in general, we do have communal Hagalas Kelim. There is the Halacha Hotline usually has a big one here that they do once or twice where they have a big pot of boiling water and you can bring your kelim by and they can kosher it for you. I imagine that's not going to happen this year. I don't know for sure, but I imagine it will not happen this year. So some of us might be stuck koshering our kelim at home. I myself always kosher. I don't kosher that much for Pesach, but whatever I kosher, I usually do at home anyway. So any Kiddush cups, bechers that you want to use, that you normally use on your chametz table, and you may wash them in your chametz sink and things like that. So you should, those things should be koshered for Pesach. So the way that we have to do it is as follows. When it come, let's talk about first the kelim themselves. So they have to be cleaned. They have to be cleaned before we use them. They should not be used for hot within 24 hours. We clean them. We clean them well. Then let them sit for 24 hours. If it's silver and you want to polish it, that has to be done. That has to be done before the koshering. So polish, clean, get it all ready, and then we can kosher it. We do have to be careful. One note I'll make is that if something has a very fine silver work, and it's hard. Sometimes there are cracks and crevices, and it's really hard to get in there and to clean it. Those items should not be koshered. Because since it's too hard to really clean them properly, you can only kosher if something is 100% clean. So if it's something that's not, it's hard to clean, you're not going to clean it 100%. So then those items should not be kosher, and you should use an alternative item for that for Pesach. Once the items are prepared, so then we can kosher them in the pot of water. When it comes to Pesach, so the even though generally when you kosher something, you do Hagalas Kelim, so generally. You can just do it in an Eino Ben Yomo pot, which means any pot, Fleishik, Milchik, doesn't really matter. Any pot that has not been used in 24 hours, you can boil the water in there and use that to kosher your kelim, kosher your utensils. However, when it comes to chametz, we're a little bit strict and we require you to kosher the pot beforehand. So if you're using a chametz dig pot, you should kosher it beforehand, kosher the pot. How do you kosher the pot? It's a little messy, but you have to fill the pot up with water. Boil the water so that the water boils over the rim of the pot so it covers the sides and then you've koshered your pot. Generally when you kosher a pot in its own water you have to put in a hot stone because this is a stringency for Pesach to kosher this pot before using it to kosher other things, you don't have to do that. So again, if you're using a chametz stick pot, make sure it hasn't been used in 24 hours. And then also kosher it by filling it up with water, boiling the water so that it boils over the pot. And now the pot has been koshered. Once the pot has been koshered, so now fill it up again, spill out that water, fill it up again with water, boil the water. Once the water has reached a rolling boil, it has to be a rolling boil, so then you can kosher each of your utensils. The utensils should be placed into the pot for 10 to 15 seconds, and then taken out and rinsed in cold water. Make sure you don't dump all the utensils in at once because you don't have to necessarily put them in one at a time, but make sure that there's room for the water to touch all areas of that utensil. If it's something that's a little bit bigger, let's say it's a long knife, it's not going to fit in my pot, you can kosher it piecemeal. You can kosher one half, stick it in for 10, 15 seconds, turn it around, stick the other half in for 10, 15 seconds, and then rinse the whole thing off in cold water. That is if you're using a chametz stick pot. If you're using a Pesach, if you want to use a Pesach dik pot, so then of course it's Eino Ben Yomo, it has not been used since last Pesach. Bring the water to a boil, kosher your kelim, but then you have to kosher the Pesach dik pot afterwards. In order to use it for Pesach, you have to kosher the Pesach dik pot afterwards. So again, if you're using a chametz dik pot, you have to kosher it first. If you're using a Pesach dik pot, you have to kosher it afterwards. The easiest thing to do, in my opinion, and this is what I do, is buy a separate pot just for koshering. You can go to Amazing Savings if they're still open. I don't know if they are, but if there's a store that's open and you can buy a pot, or you can buy one on Amazon and they'll deliver it, get a cheap pot. You don't have to tovel it because it's not being used for food. You're just using it for koshering. I wrote on the side, koshering or whatever. I wrote on the side of my pot, it's my koshering pot. I bought it, maybe for $15 or $20, an amazing savings. And I use that pot every year for koshering. If that's your koshering pot, you keep it with your Pesach Kelim, and that's your koshering pot, then you don't have to kosher anything. You don't have to kosher it before, you don't have to kosher it afterwards. You just use that one pot for koshering every single year, and that's all you use it for. That's the easiest thing to do. It's a $15, $20 investment the first time, and then it saves you a lot of, tircha and bother for the rest of the years. So that's what I would recommend. But that's in terms of koshering your kelim. Okay, let's move now to the kitchen. So let's go through the kitchen. We'll go one item at a time. Let's talk about the countertops first. Okay. What are we worried about with the countertops? So the countertops might have really come into contact with hot chametz. Sometimes you take out a hot challah from the oven and you put it right on the countertop. Sometimes you have a noodle soup, which hot noodle soup, which spills on the countertop. So the countertops have to be kosher for Pesach. So how do we do it? So technically, only granite can be kosher. Granite is stone. Stone can be kosher. But that's the only thing that can be koshered. When it comes to plastic, there's a big machlokas about koshering plastic. The general custom is that we do not kosher plastic for Pesach. Some are lenient to kosher plastic during the year, but for Pesach, most people are machmir, are stringent not to kosher plastic, and that's my recommendation. So therefore, if you have a formica countertops, which are plastic, it's a durable plastic, but it's plastic, so we don't kosher that for Pesach. Corian, acrylic polymer, alumina trihydrate, ATH, which are materials that are derived from ore. Those things also should not be koshered. Silestone, which is a compound made of quartz, and quartz, which is a stone compound. Also, I do not recommend koshering them because either they are plastic or they're made of plastic components, which we don't kosher for Pesach. Now, you will find, I believe, in the OU guide every year it says that you may kosher quartz. And the reason is because quartz is a stone composite that's held together with a resin. The resin is like a plasticky type of adhesive, and that holds the pieces of stone together. So the OU is lenient, and they allow you to kosher that because the plastic is not the majority of the countertop. It's mostly stone, but there's a little bit of resin holding it together. My recommendation is not to, my personal recommendation, but they do say, the OU does say you can kosher quartz. If you're koshering granite, so some ask, some always ask, can you kosher with, well, hold on, let's, before, I'm sorry, before we get there. So number one, clean it well and do not put anything hot on the countertops for 24 hours. So that way the countertops are eino ben yoma. Okay, so clean it well, leave it, let it sit for 24 hours. You can put, something cold or room temperature down on the countertop, but nothing hot should go on the countertop for 24 hours. Now again, we're worried about, chametz spilling, hot chametz spilling on the countertop. So we can clean them based on this idea of kavolo kach polto, the way it absorbed is the way it gets rid of it. So we can clean them through what we call iroi kli rishon, which is pouring, just like we're afraid that the hot soup or the hot chametz may have, fallen onto the countertop. So you can pour hot water onto that countertop to kosher it. You should use a pesachdik pot or a koshering pot if you have one. That pot does not have to be koshered again, like we spoke about with Hagala, because you're not putting anything in it. You're pouring the water out. So since you're pouring the water out, you will not have to kosher that pot again. You can use a kettle that's not used for chametz and not washed with chametzdik dishes. Any of those things are fine to use. And what you have to do is essentially pour boiling hot water over literally every square inch of the countertop in order to kosher it. So number one, it's very messy because it really the hot water is going to go everywhere. And number two, you really have to be careful that the stream of water hits the entire countertop, which is hard to do. It's easier said than done. It's not enough just to spill it out over your countertop and then let the water slide across. That's not enough because by the time the water slides across, the water cools off. It's no longer boiling, and then it will not kosher the stone. So it ha you have to have the boiling water hitting the countertop real literally every square inch. It's going to require several pots of water per counter, and it's very messy. So some want to use a steam, and they say can use a steamer to kosher your granite countertops. You have to really make sure that the steam is very hot. The steam has to be 160 degrees. Yad Soledis, but 160 degrees as it's hitting the countertop. Even if it's 160 degrees when it's coming out, but you know, if you hold it a foot away, and by the time the steam hits the countertop, it cools down to under 160, it's not going to kosher your countertop. I'm not familiar with all of the household steamers that people have. I don't know what the temperature of the steam is, but if technically, you know, technically speaking, if you have a steamer that reaches 160, and the steam will be 160 when it hits the countertop, so then technically you're able to use it. My hunch is that probably you would need a commercial steamer to do that. I imagine a household steamer is not going to be that hot. You won't be able to use it, but technically, you could. So one problem is that it becomes very messy, this whole koshering process, especially if you're using the boiling water all over your countertops. Another problem is what we call a davar gush, that there are some opinions that say that if something, chametz stick, falls onto the counter itself, let's say hot noodles, which happens all the time. Certainly in my house, you have hot noodles that fall directly onto the counter, not in a soup, but the actual noodle itself or a hot challah, you know, is put down on your countertop. So then the iroi, the pouring, might not help. Sometimes hot pots are put directly onto a countertop, which you know it's wet and therefore you have a kli rishon, that's the pot that's making your countertop really nice and chametz stick. So therefore it's recommended that if you kosher your granite countertops by pouring the hot water, don't put hot things directly onto the countertop on Pesach, because even though you have koshered them to one degree, there's still a little bit that you haven't done, and therefore better not to put hot things directly onto the countertop on Pesach. Because of all of these considerations, the fact that it's very messy, the fact that you know that you can't even if you do kosher, you can't put hot things directly on the countertop. I always just recommend people that it's best even just to cover it. Even if you have granite, it's beautiful. Your kitchen always looks gorgeous, but you just cover the countertops. It's only for Yontif. It's for you know it's for only about a week. And you know it'll be okay. It'll save you a lot of bother, you know, when you're koshering, and it won't make a mess of your whole kitchen. So and then you know you can put things directly onto the cover, and you can cover it with you know it should be covered with something durable. So you know they make that hard plastic that you can cover it with, or whatever else you use to cover the countertop, but something durable. You know it's also best to cover the just a little bit of the backsplash behind the countertops, because things might touch there, things might splash there. So it's a good idea just to cover, you know, a couple inches of the backsplash in behind as well. That's also a good idea. Okay, that's the countertops. Now let's move to the sink. Sink or sinks, if you have if you're privileged to have two sinks. So only stainless steel sinks can be kosher. Other materials such as enamel, porcelain, those things cannot be koshered, and therefore they should just be covered for Pesach. The best thing to use is a sink insert. They make those plastic sink inserts that you can buy. Better not to rest it directly on the bottom of the sink, because then you know you're worried about things coming up. But you should just cover it. Stainless steel can be kosher, and even if you have an enamel or porcelain sink, you will have to kosher the faucet as well. So how do you do that? So number one, again, you got to clean well. That's the first step when it comes to koshering, is that it has to be cleaned very well, especially at the drain where a lot of, you know, gook kind of builds up there. Clean it well. Make sure the faucet's clean, the handles are clean, the drain is clean. And then what you should do is the areas where it's a little bit hard to clean, pour a little bit of bleach or a little bit of cleanser in that area, and that will ruin any remaining chametz that's stuck there. That ruins the taste. And then it's called pagum, and it's not going to affect your Pesach food. Also, into the drain, you should pour a little bleach, a little cleanser into the drain as well. Or whether you have a garbage disposal or drain, pour a little in there as well, just to ruin anything that's still there. If you have a sink that's recessed under the granite or under the countertop, make sure also that area is cleaned well, the recessed area. A lot of stuff gets stuck there, and you don't see it usually. So that's something that you have to worry about. I have that in my house. Clean that well, and also a good idea, just spray that with a cleanser, like a Fantastic that has a bleach in it. You know, spray it with a cleanser, also to be pogame any residue or remaining chametz that's there. Once it's clean, let it sit for 24 hours. Don't use it for hot water for 24 hours. You can still use cold water, no problem, but don't use it for hot. Either cover the knob, turn off the hot water underneath, make sure everybody in your household knows that can't be used for hot water for the next 24 hours, and then you're ready to kosher it. When you kosher, when you're ready to kosher the sink or the faucet, it should be dry. And again, you have to boil up water. You can use, like we said, you can use a Pesachdik pot or a kettle that's never been used for chametz or never been washed with chametz dishes. And you take this pot, you bring the water to a rolling boil, and then you take it off the fire and pour it again over every square inch of the sink. Once again, this is easier said than done. You'll probably need a couple of pots to kosher the sink properly. Best to do one side at a time. So let's say work on the left side first or the right side first, whatever it is, pick that side, and then make sure try to get the stream of water to hit every square inch of the sink. It's hard, it takes time. You have to be a little bit meticulous, but you can do it. And then you pour boiling water over the faucet, including the hose. If you have a hose that you use, if you don't use the hose, then it's fine. But if you use the hose, then pull it out, run hot water through it, and then pour hot water over that hose also just to kosher it. You should use a new different strainer. So if you have like a little strainer at the bottom, to catch all the food, you should use a new one for Pesach. Those things are hard to clean. Just put it away with your Chametz Kelim and buy a new one. They're cheap. You can get them online and get one of those. There is also the same problem of a davar gush, that item, the hot noodles falling into your sink, which again, the Eroi, the pouring, is not going to kasher for that. So because of that, it's best not to put hot Pesachdik things directly onto the bottom of the sink. So you should use some sort of a dish rack or a grate at the bottom of the sink and rest your things on there. Try to prevent as much as you can the dishes from actually touching the bottom of the sink because of that concern of this hot chametz falling onto the sink. Okay, so that's the way we kosher our sink. There might be other ways to do it, but that's the easiest way and the simplest way certainly. Let's move to the oven. So when you kosher your oven, the easiest oven to kosher is a self-cleaning oven, which Baruch Hashem many of us have self-cleaning ovens these days. And the way you kosher a self-cleaning oven is essentially just to run the self-clean cycle, and then it will kosher itself. You do have to make sure with a self-cleaning oven, even with a self-cleaning oven, I should say, that when you open the door, you'll see that there's a gasket which keeps all the heat inside. Outside the gasket, both on the door and on the oven itself, is not cleaned by the self-clean. So that area before you self-clean the oven, that area should be cleaned well. Both on the oven and on the door that pulls out, just the area outside the gasket, make sure to clean that area well, and then run the self-clean cycle, and then your oven is kosher lePesach. Anything white or any white ashy stuff that's left afterwards is fine. You don't have to worry about that, and it's 100% kosher lePesach. There are some newer ovens that I found out last year. They use a different technology. When you self-clean them, it's called AquaLift or steam clean technology. If you have one of these ovens, what happens is it cleans it at a lower heat, which is better for the oven, but it's worse for kashrus. You don't have that same level of self-clean when it comes to koshering it, and therefore that oven has to be treated like a non-self-cleaning oven, which we'll talk about in a minute. That the OU and the Star K both publicized that last year. So if you have one of these ovens that has the AquaLift or steam clean technology, you have to treat it like a non-self-cleaning oven. Let's move to the non-self-cleaning ovens. If you have a non-self-cleaning oven, so again, clean the oven very well. Usually you have to use some sort of easy off or something like that to clean it very well and make sure it's spotless. Anything that's black and burnt is okay, but anything else, and certainly if you can't feel it and you can't get it off, that's okay, a little discoloration, but really everything else has to be cleaned. Once it's 100% cleaned, so then turn it on to the highest setting, which is usually 550, and leave it at 550 for 45 minutes. The one complication with a non-self-cleaning oven is that the inside of the ovens are coated with enamel, and the general custom is that we do not kosher enamel for Pesach. So even though this will technically kosher it, but it won't kosher it 100%, and therefore the recommendation is that if you're cooking something liquidy in that oven, best to cover it, to keep it covered, on Pesach so that you don't have this problem of the enamel, which was not 100% kosher. Again, that's only with the non-self-cleaning ovens. With the self-cleaning oven, when it gets to the high heat, high temperature that the self-cleaning ovens use, so then that's okay. Even enamel is kosher with that. But for a non-self-cleaning oven, just at 550 for 45 minutes or an hour is not going to kosher the enamel, and therefore your racks are kosher and everything like that. But it's best if you're cooking something that has liquid and it's going to emit significant steam to keep that covered while you're cooking it. Okay, that's the oven. What about the stovetop? So if you have, so the stovetop, obviously, number one, should be cleaned very well. It should be covered, completely covered with heavy-duty aluminum foil. Make sure not to cover the vents of the oven because the oven needs to vent in order for your kitchen to remain safe. So make sure that the vents are not covered. If it's a gas oven, so the grates, the gas, you know, the grates upon which the pots sit have to be kosher. If you stick them into the self-cleaning oven while it's self-cleaning, it might ruin those grates. So the best thing to do is to clean them well and then put them into the oven before you self-clean it. Put them into the oven, turn it on to the highest setting for 45 minutes, again 550 for 45 minutes, and then your grates are kosher. Once your grates are kosher, then you can self-clean the oven and clean the inside of the oven and the racks. If you have an electric oven, it's very easy to clean. You just have to turn on the coils, let them get red hot, and they're kosher. That's it. Best to do it one at a time just because otherwise you might burn up your kitchen. The drip pans underneath the electric coils do not have to be koshered. You know, make sure they're clean and there's no residue there, but they do not have to be koshered. If you want to cover them, it's probably better to cover them, but they do not have to be koshered. A glass top cannot be koshered. So if you have a glass top, reach out to me, glass top stovetop. If you have a glass top, reach out to me privately and we'll talk about it. The knobs, you should cover the area where the when you should cover the area where the you know where the panel is. But you don't have to be koshered. It doesn't have to be koshered that area. You should just cover it, clean it and cover it. The knobs, just cover the clean the knobs well. You don't have to kosher them. Just clean the knobs well. You know, usually the knobs you can pull off and put back on. So just clean the knobs well. Okay. Moving on to the microwave. So microwaves are, most microwaves, the inside is made out of plastic. And again, like I said before, although there is a machlokas, the general custom is not to kosher plastic for Pesach. So I would not recommend using koshering a microwave for Pesach. I know you'll see in some places they say you can. Not my personal recommendation. So I say either buy a new microwave for Pesach if you really, you know, really are desperate for a microwave. Baruch Hashem, they're not that expensive. Or just do without it for the Yontif. Which is what we do. A dishwasher, technically, if it's stainless steel, it can be koshered. You have to purchase new racks because the racks are plastic. But technically, it can be koshered. Practically, it's very hard to kosher because it's very hard to clean. Dishwashers have tons of cracks and crevices, and they're very hard to get in and make sure you get all the residue and the gook and the buildup of food get in there. And since it's hard to clean and you can't kosher something if it's not clean, so it's very, very difficult to kosher it. I do not advise koshering a dishwasher for Pesach. So if you have extenuating circumstances or something like that, you know, you could speak with me privately, but generally I do not advise koshering a dishwasher for Pesach. Warming drawers cannot be koshered. You would have to kosher with a blowtorch, and I don't know what that would do to your room warming drawer, so you can't kosher that. Hot plates also, if you have like the Israeli style plata, should not be koshered. That you should really purchase a new one for Pesach, or just buy the old fashioned blech, just you know, the sheet of metal and use that. If there are extenuating circumstances, be in touch with me privately and we can try to work, you know, figure something out. But generally, that's the recommendation. A Keurig, if you have a Keurig coffee maker. So again, I do not recommend koshering it for Pesach again because it has plastic pieces, and I don't recommend koshering plastic for Pesach. You will find in some publications, I think in the OU it says if you kosher plastic, then you can kosher your Keurig, and the OU tells you how to do it. So there's you know there are some out there who will tell you that you can or you know or how to do it. I don't recommend it, but you know you'll have a instant coffee for, or brewed coffee for a week. Okay, now let's move to the refrigerator and the freezer. They do not have to be kosher since the things that are put in there are cold, or they become cold, so you don't have to kosher them. Just clean them very well. Some have the custom to line the shelves with like a shelf liner. It's not necessary. If you want to do it and that's your custom and you always do it, that's fine, but it's not necessary to do it. I personally do not cover my shelves, but just clean them very well, make sure there's no sticky residue, and you're okay. If you have ice trays, you should use a new ice tray just because ice trays are often brought to the table and washed in the dishwasher and sink and things like that. So better to use new ice trays. If you have just one of those big bins in the freezer that never comes out, just it's plastic and it's all cold, just take it, clean it very well, empty the ice, clean it very well, and then it's fine. You can use that, any new ice you can use for Pesach. But sometimes there are crumbs that get into the ice, that ice compartment, so just be careful about that. Okay, oh, one other thing in the refrigerator and freezer, you should on Pesach you should not put hot things directly onto the shelves because since sometimes during the year you do put things on the shelf, always a good idea not to put hot things on your refrigerator, and freezer shelves. But since sometimes you might during the year, so it's better not to on Pesach just put some sort of a pot holder or towel down underneath it until it cools down. Other items in the kitchen, such as towels, aprons, gloves, anything that's fabric, anything like that, you can actually kosher those items by washing them in hot water. The water should be hot. Use soap. Make sure that there's no residue, nothing stuck there, and then they're kosher. You can use the same. Technically, you can use the same towels as long as you wash them in hot water with soap and there's no, residue stuck on them. You can use those on Pesach as well. I know many people just buy new towels or have new towels for Pesach, but technically, you can kosher the towels. Your kitchen table, your dining room table should be cleaned well and then cover it with some sort of a plastic. You can tape it underneath, just to make sure that your Pesach, stuff doesn't come into contact with the table itself. If you have a high chair that you're using for, your children or grandchildren, clean it well, and then cover the tray. 'Cause since there's a lot of chametz, that gets on there, so you should cover the tray, or sometimes you can order a new tray for Pesach. If you have a water cooler, with a hot water spout. So you have one of those big water coolers with a hot water spout. So then again, clean it very well. Run the hot water through it for 10 to 15 seconds. Pour boiling water over the spout, and you should use a new water bottle. That's again plastic. If you use it for oatmeal and things like that, where it really gets chametz sticks, so then it's better not to kosher that, not to use that for Pesach. But technically, if you don't use it, if you only really only use it for hot water and just for coffee and tea and things like that, so then you can use it over Pesach. Just make sure you clean it very well, and I would just pour boiling water over it just to be sure. One thing I didn't mention is I mentioned the Keurig, but urns. So it's best to purchase a new urn for Pesach. The urns are kept out, and sometimes they're cleaned in the sink, and sometimes chametz things splash on them. Some people use their urns for filling up, for making tradition soup or oatmeal or things like that. So that kind of thing, technically you should really purchase a new urn for Pesach. If it's something that if again if it's extenuating circumstances, then be in touch with me privately. And we can talk about it. Okay, so it's about 10 to 9, so I'm going to stop here for tonight. I'll open up the floor. I'm going to unmute everyone. If you don't have any questions, you are free to leave. You can leave the meeting if you wish. And if you have questions, you can ask your questions. We'll try to do it in an orderly way. Any questions? No questions. Everything was so clear. Questions, questions. If you wish, you can type your questions into the chat. Let's see. Hold on a second. There's a couple questions in the chat. Oh, okay. So somebody, oh, okay. So somebody asked about garbage cans. I see in the chat here. Somebody asked about garbage cans. Technically speaking, you do not have to get a new garbage can for Pesach. Nobody eats out of their garbage cans. Just clean the garbage can, make sure there's no, there's no real chametz there, and it's fine. You can use the same garbage can for Pesach, and for during the year. You don't have to worry about that. Somebody typed in before, when you say stove racks, do you mean the disc that covers the head of the gas as well? Oh yeah, okay. So that disc, right, those discs, if you have a gas stove top, so the racks and that disc should also be kosher, because that can come into contact. A gas barbecue grill. I would not recommend koshering a gas barbecue grill for Pesach. Gas barbecue grills are nearly impossible to clean. So if they're nearly impossible to clean, then you can't kosher. I wouldn't recommend koshering it. If you're really desperate to barbecue, I would just buy something cheap. You can get like a cheap grill, and a small one, and use that one. I would not kosher a gas grill for Pesach. Somebody just typed in. An Israeli style hot plate. If you clean it well and then cover it with heavy duty aluminum foil, can it be used? I prefer not. I prefer not. Again, if it's extenuating circumstances, speak with me privately. But I prefer not, just because those things, often get dirty and the aluminum foil rips and things like that. So I really prefer not. That would be my recommendation. But again, if you have extenuating circumstances, please speak with me privately. Okay, that's it for the chat. Any questions? Verbal questions. Anybody want to shout out a question? No. Yes. Yes. I think it's okay. They're koshered in the oven. The area that's touching, honestly, it's not really going to get chametz stick during the year either, because it's touching, touching the inside of the oven. So we're not really worried about that. We're more worried about the central area of the racks, where things might spill and, might get dirty. So that's going to be koshered by the self-cleaning part. And honestly, even those sides will probably get hot enough to kosher anyway. So I think you're fine, even with those areas on the side. To cover the glass, you mean? Yeah, I don't think you have to cover the glass. I think it'll be enough. You don't have to cover the glass. You should just clean outside of the gasket. A double wall oven. So meaning you have one on the bottom and one on top. Okay, so can you kosher? So I'm not 100% familiar how they work and how they're vented. I would have to look into that and double check. But if you could just send me an email or a text message, I'll get back to you about that. I just have to find out. I don't know how the ventilation works, because if one is vented through the other, that could be a problem. But I'll double check that. Sure. Any other questions? If you're using a chametz stick pot, yeah. If you're using a chametz stick pot for koshering, that has to be koshered first. Yeah. If you're using a pot kosher for Pesach, then you just boil the water and pour it on your countertops, and you're fine. You don't have to kosher the pot afterwards, because you're not sticking anything in that pot. That's a good question. Then you should. Meaning, if it's a kosher le Pesach pot and you're heating up the water on your stovetop, you should really kosher the stovetop first, because you don't want to put your kosher le Pesach pot on your chametz stick stovetop. Yeah, so you should kosher the stovetop first and then use your Pesach stick pot to boil the water. Yeah. Okay, good night. Any other questions? No problem. Yeah. Okay, so the grates should be put into an oven, and well, clean the, I should say, I'm sorry, clean them first, clean them well. Let them sit for 45, let I'm sorry, let them sit for 24 hours so they're not being used, and then stick them in the oven, put it at the highest setting, 550, and leave them in there for 45 minutes, and then they're kosher. Sure. Any other questions? Going once. Going twice. Sold. Okay. So thank you everyone for tuning in. This was recorded. I'll try to post it on YU Torah as well. If you have any other questions, feel free to reach out to me. You can call me, email me, text me, and I would love to make it as easy as possible for you to get ready for Pesach. Good night, everyone. Thank you for joining. Good night.